It's a Therapy Monday. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. 14-6, the Browns go down to defeat their second loss in a row. They lose to the Baltimore Ravens at Baltimore, still seeking win number one next week at Minnesota, but we are talking mostly about yesterday's game. We're going to have Gerard Cherial on with us a little later this hour. Your calls, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Tweet us at Browns_daily. Let's go to Rick in Parma with us right now. Hey, Rick.
Thanks for taking my call. Can I vent just a little bit?
Please do.
Why wasn't the question asked about Greg Little? I mean, we've got to do something with this guy. We've got to suspend him for one game. I mean, you guys, I realize you're working for the Browns, so you kind of have to dodge the hard questions. But Greg Little needs to be suspended. How many traffic stops in 3 weeks has he had?
No, and you're I'll take that. I had it in my head to get to it. We were looking at the clock. Coach had a meeting coming up right after the show, and I'm not right after his appearance. And I wasn't trying. I'm not going to make an excuse here. I know we addressed it in the press conference earlier. It was brought up that he was going to have a conversation with Greg. I'm not going to speculate as to the reasons why Chud had something to go to right after this, but I'm going to take a wild guess that could have been included on his afternoon agenda to meet with him and see where this goes. I'm of the belief, just based on what I can tell you internally, that I do think another shoe is going to drop on Little, and that I'm not sure that the coach will say anything about it when it happens, but I think something's going to happen.
Well deserved. Second, you know, I wanted to say something about the third down concerns. It really wasn't a concern until the second half, and then it was, hello?
We're here with you.
It wasn't a concern until the second half when the defense was gassed because the offense was off the field in three downs. So I think if the offense can hang in there to get a few first downs in the second half, then I think we have a chance to pull it out.
And I think that's been the problem 2 weeks in a row. I think 2 weeks in a row this team's had the lead in the first half. Yeah. 2 weeks in a row in the second half, the defense has kind of started to be on the field a little bit more than it wanted to be or needed to be in the second half. The offense has kind of failed to keep drives alive in the second half, and all of a sudden the defense gets tired, and the other team can finally score some points. You look at, I mean, so far in the first two games, the Browns have given up exactly 6 points in the first half. They've given up 27 in the second half.
Sean in Medina with us now. Hey, Sean.
How's it going?
What's up, man?
Hey, doing well. Hey, two things. One, I wanted to talk about the O-line play and the effect it's had on Brandon. And then, two, I was listening to you on the Rizzo show talking about Johnny Manziel and some of the possible quarterback prospects. So,
not me. I wasn't on Rizzo today to talk about it, but I heard the show, and I know they did talk about Manziel a lot.
Okay, sorry.
That's all right.
So I think that the offensive line play is definitely having an effect on Whedon. I mean, you can't throw the ball when you're flat on your back.
Yeah, listen, he's been sacked 11 times, 28 quarterback hits in the first 2 weeks. Mitchell Schwartz has given up 5 sacks of his own. That is the most in the NFL through the first 2 weeks of the season, and it's a problem. And it's a problem that it's one side. Basically, one side of the offensive line has been kind of like a jailbreak situation. And yes, he's had to face Cameron Wake. Yes, he's faced Elvis Dumervil. But you know what? There are a lot of good pass rushers in the NFL, and you find a way and do what it takes to make sure that you can make some plays. I think the offensive line is a huge issue right now. It's a massive issue, and unfortunately, it's going to remain an issue because Sean LeBow, who is supposed to come back and replace O'Neal Cousins, will that be an upgrade? Of course, it is an upgrade. But it's not like Sean LeBow last year was setting the world on fire. He was the worst graded lineman on the Browns' offensive line. So it's not like all of a sudden a hero is returning.
No.
And Mitchell Schwartz, quite frankly, is the problem. If you cannot protect the edge in your pass game, you don't have a pass game.
Right. I think it's a bigger problem than, again, this team anticipated, although there were concerns
about
Mitchell Schwartz.
I know.
I mean, they were not loving Mitchell Schwartz as a collective decision-making group, I can tell you this, in ways that the previous administration thought he was the guy and was really thrilled that he had started a hole. A lot of people read into his starting an entire rookie season as validation that he is a steady force at right tackle, and that isn't necessarily the case, and that wasn't something that this, again, the group running this team believed in and saw into that draft as saying, oh, yeah, an answer was addressed here. I think they left open the possibility, the very real possibility, that this would be this right tackle spot would be something that might need to be addressed on the line.
He was much better last year, though. I mean, he was. He gave up 5 sacks all of last season.
But you know,
it was a different offense.
You know, we had this conversation.
No, for sure, for sure.
Before they took one, this isn't revisionist history. This came up like in the off season,
and they were right
long before
training camp.
They knew what they were seeing based on even as well as he looks in Pro Football Focus and other numbers that say that he did well.
He's clearly best suited to be in a West Coast offense. That's what he was okay in a West Coast offense last year. He is suited to be in this offense, and that was the problem.
The concerns were, the holding your blocks longer, et cetera, et cetera.
Concerns? I'd like him to hold his blocks for a second right now. I mean, I'm sure it's brutal, and it's a problem.
Yeah, it's
listen, you take things away from great players, okay, and they struggle. Ben Roethlisberger is a great quarterback. You have to love him. I know you do because he is a winner. His numbers are good. Ben Roethlisberger is struggling because his offensive line is non-existent right now.
Right.
They got blasted by the Tennessee Titans at home. That does not happen to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No.
Tom Brady's one of the best quarterbacks who's ever played this game. His receivers are depleted right now. He is struggling. The Browns don't even have a great quarterback to knock down to struggle, so that's a problem.
Right. Right.
That's the problem we're running into.
To overcome what they have to. And again, that will always be, we agree on this. The mark of great quarterbacking is what you do when there is adversity. That's what you're
measuring
and find a way. And then if you've got it all together, if you've got the weapons and you got it all and you got a great line and you can do great things, then it's you're pitch and catch and you're having fun all day. And if you're really good still, you're even better under those circumstances. But we're just looking for competence here. We're not at competence.
We thought we were there.
It was feeling that way in the preseason gave us a false sense of security. That's not even the right word. False sense of hope.
And remember, when we talk like this, compartmentalize it, because the defense is better than competent. The defense is, I think, on its way
defense
to excellence.
Really good.
And it's a couple pieces away, I think, from being literally one of the top five feared defenses in the NFL.
I'm aboard with you there. And as long as the back end stuff, the third down, we can't ignore the third down flaws that are there.
That's when you get exposed in coverage.
And that's where the coverage part of it has to, because at some point, all of your answers aren't resolved by what you're doing up front. All right, we are going to have Jerod Cherry join us, and we'll break some things down with Jerod coming up next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 40, ESPN 850 WKNC.